Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, Bankstown? Hey, how we doing? It's a Way Back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects, and hopefully you guys are having one hell of a day as you roll through Hump Day. Nick's here, Barry's here, I'm here, ready to roll for the next 3 hours on a Way Back Wednesday. Way Back Wednesday theme, one song from each of the 8 XFL cities.
Yeah.
Artist from city.
Yeah.
Already know where you're going to go.
No, I'm not saying a word. I'm not arguing with you guys today.
Let's see if that stays the case.
I'm not arguing with you guys. I'm going to, because you guys will call me petty or whatever.
You rolling on
this? I think your lists are amazing, and I had a theme for mine where I did no hip-hop. It's all bands, like rock bands.
Who did you pick from Tampa?
Iced something. I don't know. Iced Latte. I don't know what the hell their name was. I'd have to go back. Iced Earth.
Iced Latte.
Iced Earth. Dante's Inferno. Great song, man. I'm telling you what. If I had a nickel for every time I'd play this, I would have zero nickels.
I pulled at the jazz heartstrings of our suspects by going to David Sanborn.
Nice.
A longtime jazz saxophone.
That's great. They're going to hate you.
Yes, they are. But hopefully it's an upbeat saxophone song that carries the 15 seconds that I need.
There you go. Yeah, I did all rock bands. So, and some of them I know, some of them I don't.
Thanks for giving us the heads up on the double theme for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I could have gone hip hop, and I chose not to.
I'm gonna hold you to this, by the way.
What?
Nick, I swear to God, I hope you rolled on the tape on this. Because I knew going into the show before we started that he has ammunition on both of us.
No.
So the fact that he nothing. Came out
oh, he
in the,
did.
Nope.
So he came, absolutely did.
No.
Good, because he came out
I
in the
think
first
you guys
episode,
did
he's
great.
Not going to say anything.
I think you guys did great. Both your lists are really good.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is going to be a good Wednesday full of great songs.
I've already got to change one of mine.
Two.
I've got a
but,
duplicate.
Yeah, this is going to be great.
Who's hour number one?
It's going to be you.
By the way, two.
Of course, it's always
you got
me.
Two dupes.
Do I?
But
this
me.
Is a great. It's going to be. The songs are awesome, and I'm really excited. Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
Oh, he's got yeah. Vanilla Ice as well. I hate you
two.
So much.
Yeah,
Joel.
You got two. But no, I'm not. I didn't bring it up because these are great lists, and everything's cool.
That's not what you brought up before
no.
the show started. Though,
I'm not
sir.
Saying this is great.
Hey. Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, a guest appearance that doesn't happen very often. But
Charlie,
the one
you do the show
only,
with us, buddy?
Charlie Polillo is in, hovering, doesn't wait
he's
till a break, just canvassing yeah. the entire studio.
Yeah, Charlie's ready to get home,
looking
bro.
For something.
Charlie's ready to get...
Thought Charlie was going home, but no. I don't see it yet, Charles.
This is awkward.
It's
right
great
Charlie
radio.
Has an unbelievable ability to keep his clothes in such immaculate condition, despite being 2.5 decades old. I think he dry cleans his sweats. It's ridiculous.
This kind of creeps.
Kind of makes you a little bit jealous?
Kind of. I don't know. Look at those sweats. They're like perfect, and they probably were made in 1996.
That's not true. Charlie, Nicholas is saying that your sweats were made in 1996. Is that true? You have no idea when they were made. You don't know when you bought those. He says you get your sweats dry cleaned. Do they have a crease? Do you get a crease? Do you get a no crease? Oh, well, no, it's got a little crease in it, buddy. Got a little, do you get them?
Now, wait a minute.
He's never been to a Target?
But now,
Nick, he said, have you never been to a Target?
I definitely have been to a Target.
I was going
to
say, yeah. Half of his wardrobe now, probably Charlie, came from Target.
I shop at JCPenney, bro.
The only thing that gives Nick fuel for his fire on this is the sweatshirt you're wearing is from 2001. From a tennis
and
match.
And your hat is 95. And your sneakers
are Nike. Just leave it alone.
Those are the, what do they call those?
The Air Mall Walker.
No, no, those are the dad Nikes.
Charlie Sloan, ladies and gentlemen, two shows nightly. Please remember
Charlie
to tip your bartenders and your waitstaff.
That he knows of. He said he's not found a dad that he knows of. Right, Charlie? Got you, buddy.
There you
he
go.
He doesn't have any kids
by
that he's
the
aware
man,
of.
The myth, the legend.
He just comes in the middle of the show looking for a cord that he had in his bag the entire time.
So let me ask you guys
just
a question.
Just derailed our first segment.
Who's more big time?
Although we shouldn't have said anything. We should have just ignored him. You know, that's Radio 101, Joel.
No, you can't.
You could have just ignored him.
Thanks
and
for
not
teaching
told
me radio, Dad.
You're
the
welcome.
Thing is that when we have a Twitch feed,
great,
and everybody can
today
see him prancing around the studio.
There's like two people on the Twitch feed. There are millions of people listening to us right now that could not see Charlie was in here.
So let's get back to my point. Who's bigger and more worldwide?
Who's bigger?
Lance
me?
Zierlein or Charlie Pulillo?
Ooh, got to go Lance.
See, I would too.
NFL
because of the
Network.
NFL Network, yeah. Right? So Lance left his iPad in the studio while Charlie was on the air. And we know that he likes to do his mall walking around the office to try and get exercise in between.
You're talking about Lance.
Yeah, scouting video combine reports. Well, he was talking to the screen in the culture map area going, come on, Charlie, go to break. I got to get my iPad. And I'm like, you're Lance Zierlein. You could go right in. He's like, no.
That's rude.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, that's rude.
But on the flip side, Pulillo just throws the door open in the middle of segment one for the suspects, and he just starts prancing around the studio.
Yeah, you guys used to do that and say that we should go in. Who was on before us, before Pulillo was here? Granato and Salisbury. And you guys used to, you know, say that, oh, just go in. And I'm like, no, that's rude. I'm not going to go in while they're on the air. That's an awkward feeling. We know that. I wouldn't do that. You did. You were always doing
it. I didn't
that.
Give
I don't understand
ass, and I
why.
I still
you
don't understand why you're trying to get people to think you're compassionate and actually
it's just
not rude.
It's just one of those days, Joel. I'm just, you know, living the angelic life.
Anything I missed from you guys last night? Because after all this, I don't know if there's much more I can take in
what?
Segment one.
Just,
did you cry last night? I mean, if that happened, we might want to revisit it.
I just want to say shout out to the makers of Horizon Zero Dawn.
Horizon Zero Dawn?
Yeah. Dawn. Not Dawn.
I didn't know what you said. What is
oh
that?
Oh, my God. I can't believe you just said that.
Well, what is
it's
it?
It's a video game.
Oh, God.
It's really badass. Highly recommended if you're on a PS4.
Was it enhanced?
It's old. Like, it's not been. It's been around for a while. I just started to play it, hated it, stopped, and then
oh,
picked it back up
an
again.
Old game.
No, I mean, it's like a couple years old, maybe, at the most.
Do you have your gaming chair yet?
I don't have a gaming chair.
Well, see, it would be enhanced even
one
more if you had a gaming chair.
I need a gaming chair. But I need to get my man cave first before I get a gaming chair. It looked weird in the middle of the living room.
I thought you were going to say man card. Okay. So, Nick, you went to the late night festivities
touché
at Toyota Center last night, right?
I did not.
You did not go?
It. Just watched it from home.
That was a smart move. I think half the people that had tickets last night did the same thing.
Boy, did they.
Oh, my goodness. Was that just a poor showing for a great showing on the court by the Rockets?
Now, poor showing by the fans, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
But here's the thing, and we'll get into it. But the problem is that if I said anything last night, then I was going to get ambushed again. But my big thing was, you gave up another double-digit lead. But let me tell all you people, that was a big win. That was a good win, and that was the way that this team, when they're playing the way they're supposed to play and making shots, is capable of doing things. But Russ and Harden are doing a ton. When you get Gordon back, and if you can get Gordon and Covington to kind of supplement what's going on there, that gives you some hope.
You and this giving up a double-digit lead
hate
thing.
Hate it.
You don't, I mean, as much as you've been around basketball, you've been around basketball longer than I've been alive.
Yeah.
And you would think by now you would know that basketball is all about runs and spurts and teams. No lead is safe unless it's 30 or 40 with a couple minutes left. This is basketball, dude. How many times have the Rockets... Look, there was an example, and I wrote this down because I knew, Joseph Blank...
Why do you want to be combative, Barry?
...that you were going to... I was just about way back Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
But I knew you were going to bring this up. The Rockets were up 7 at one point in the fourth with about 5:30 to go. Up 7, right? Mm-hmm. Celtics knocked down a huge 3. Just give them credit. They knocked it down. I think there was a hand in the face. Still knocked it down, made the shot. Now they're up 5. Go down. Turnover by James. Not a defensive lapse, an offensive issue. Turnover, easy bucket. They go from being up 7 to being up 2. And that happens a lot in the NBA. That was 5 points in 25 seconds. That's a 10-11 point lead is nothing in the NBA.
That's what I'm talking about.
It isn't, but what were you talking about in terms of a double-digit lead?
12-point lead at one point.
But even 12, Joel.
I'm saying lost that, but then went up 15, lost that one.
They were never up 15, were they?
I don't know about that.
I'm looking at the GameCast game flow. They were never up 15
at the end of the game. They were up 18, weren't they? Towards the end of the game? And then I turned it off. When I turned it back on, I don't know what happened late in the game. But obviously, 18. I'm not going to use that as part of the example.
They were up 18 with a minute 56 to go.
Yeah, that's
and that. Then they put in, like, dude, when you start seeing, go look at the box score. When you start seeing dudes getting 1 minute, with a minute 56 when you're up 18 and you're starting to play Howard and Frazier and Clemens, you've said, okay, this game is in hand. You don't need to worry about it. So that's, I'm not, but to me, it's, you're right. If they had choked away an 18 point lead, I'm with you on that. But 10, 11, even 12 is nothing in the NBA.
12,
two threes and a turnover. Right, and no, you're right
I get
back
what
in
you're
it.
Saying. But I'm saying, and my idea of double digit leads is I'm saying it when it happens more than once within a game. And if it happens a couple times, because we used to say on the air all the time, it's the NBA, everybody makes a run. And you know that.
Of course.
So I'm totally with that. Okay. I just don't like the fact that it happens consistently multiple times within a game when you just take the body of work for the Rockets. And in a lot of games this year that they've lost, you could say, well, they were dominating and they were in control of it for most of the game. And then what the hell happened? That's what concerns me come playoff time. Because I guess my vision is more or less focused on what's going to happen in the postseason.
I mean, at least you can, if you're a Rockets fan, you can appreciate the fact that when they did go on a run, it was when it counted. Because they did go on like a 15-2 run with just over 2 minutes left in the game. And we were talking about them not being able to close out quarters. I think that was a good way to do that because it wasn't necessarily from all the free throws like they have been making all game. Like 37 of those points on that scoreboard were from free throws. I think James Harden had 17 of his 42 points were all at the free throw line. I think he was 17 for 18 from the free throw line. With small ball, I'm not terribly mad at this team if they can continue to drive to the basket and create and get fouled. Just don't get all upset if you don't get the foul call.
Yeah.
And keep going. Keep it consistent. Keep going at the basket. Because right now you're playing small ball because you kind of have to without Clint Capella. I think if they can continue to get the free throws and get to the free throw line, they're going to be really tough to beat, man.
It's funny because you say small ball. They had more blocks than the Celtics did. They were only out-rebounded by 3. And, I mean, this is – you've been saying, and I know it's been kind of a joke on the show, but that P.J. Tucker is the heart and soul. And I know you meant it at first, and we've turned it into kind of a bit. I'm going to tell you right now, man, last couple days, Covington is the heart and soul of this team down the stretch. He has big play after big play, another block and a strip and a three. I mean, this dude has been coming up massively for this team in the short time that he's been here.
I think there's a difference between heart and soul and contributing like he's doing. But I'll say this.
Just messing with
you. I would see your Covington and I would raise you Russell Westbrook because the fact that this is what we were talking about when they made the move. To get a Russell Westbrook that's not three happy, that's not just jacking everything up, that is attacking the basket, because guys, when you watch that guy attack the 10,
boy,
there ain't another person on this planet that does it any better, any more aggressively,
and you can't
finishes.
Stop it. You're gonna foul
goodness.
Him or he's gonna make it.
If he's going downhill, good luck.
Yeah.
Because he is amazing when you have that combination of athleticism and strength and just pure force in the way he goes to the basket. And last night when he went baseline and then he reversed it.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Gosh, that's the way he needs to play with this team in order to be successful.
There were so many times when you could see an opening with Russ having the ball, and you were like, uh-oh. And, I mean, as soon as you couldn't even get the words uh-oh out, and he was at the rack. Like, it is a thing of beauty to watch. If there is just the smallest amount of space for him to drive, that's game over. I mean, he's getting to the rack. And then sometimes he's going to get fouled and not make it and have to shoot free throws. But fortunately, he's a decent free throw shooter. So
better than last year, because that's where he's really improved.
He was 10 of 13 in free throws last night. So.
Yeah.
I mean, you had 78 points from your two stars. Problem is, again, you have 5 points from your bench. 38 minutes from Rivers and McLemore, and they managed to score a total of 5 points.
Let's get it done, folks. Mm. All right, so that's just getting started on the usual suspects. So that's just the opener. You guys want to join in, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Together, I say this, together we achieve more because we are a team. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Good choice.
Haters keep hating.
Good choice, buddy.
All that hating in Houston.
Who are you
Barry
talking about?
When I use this song.
What are you talking about?
You know
I just said good choice, buddy.
And in the break,
great
you,
just, song.
You called me a panderer.
No, I didn't say anything. I said great song.
Nick, did he say
great
pandering?
Choice.
He did.
Thank you.
Okay.
I have a little flip song.
The truth?
None of that happened. What'd you say?
I have a little flip song, so I guess I'm doing the same thing.
I mean, you guys have great lists.
But I'm interested where you went.
Are you like turning over a new leaf and you're being nice about our Way Back Wednesday list?
I thought y'all's lists were really good.
You were berating me about Tupac before the show started, sir.
Nope.
Oh, no, he's already said both of them. I'm not bringing it up because I'm going to see if he can stay to his word and not mention what he mentioned about both of our lists.
I mean, I could tell right away you both were very defensive about your list, so I figured now would be a good time for me to just be nice on Way Back.
Why don't we let the people? Why don't we let the people?
We put thought into ours. We actually concentrate on it.
What'd
you do last week?
You're right. Your lists were really good.
Last week, you kept going, who's this? What's that? And that was your list.
You almost got me to say something bad.
I'm going to. By the end of the show, I will get you.
So close. But you can tell you put a lot of thought into Fat Pat, Tops Drop. Because
you all know I like that song.
Yeah. I like them. You guys did good.
Can you regurgitate last week's list for us again?
My list was super easy. I just, you know.
You stayed out of
I just researched any good metal band from every city and then tried to find a decent song for each of those bands.
What'd you pull from
that
Houston?
That was so simple. Blue October. Mm. Hate Me. And you'll recognize it as soon as you hear it.
I know the song because I've thought about it and how I could use it in context with the show.
It's your theme song when you see me?
Yes. All right, just final thoughts, Nick, and I don't know if you have any, but the big thing I was going to say that is interesting
now. I'm good, thank you.
Is with that being the last game before the All-Star break, two roster spots sitting there wide open that hopefully if you watch, people are going to watch the buyout market. I'm going to watch the CBA, the Chinese basketball.
I was like, the Canadian Basketball Association?
No, I think that Fareed's still playing over there. They got guys over there because I just don't think there's a lot in the buyout market. Unless there's someone that just hasn't been on a roster for almost a year now, I think that's some. But with two roster spots open, Daryl's normally pretty good about being creative. I'm interested to see what they do.
Okay.
I was saying to Nick if there was any other thing he wanted to throw in from the game last night. I thought we exercised all of our right to throw out everything about what
I just like the
night.
Rebounding comment that Barry made because I think if you can get 10 rebounds out of Westbrook and 8 rebounds out of Harden every game, along with the assists.
They shouldn't be. I did think of one thing watching the game last night. And it really goes to the fact that so the offense is looking better. It's not just James dribbling it out and shooting, but I really feel that there are moments when in the game that still happens when everyone is standing around waiting for James to do something. And the concern that I have in that regard is they're not big enough to rebound if that's going to be the case. You'll see a lot of one and dones because they're going to lose the rebounding battle in that regard. Now, fortunately, that wasn't the case last night, but I noticed it a few times where he would take a shot and it was one and done. And I think somebody even mentioned on the broadcast that it's been several one and dones. And I was like, that's going to be the problem is you're not big enough to get those rebounds and kick it back out and have another offensive possession.
Well, the bonus of playing small ball is the spacing is better, so they are going to get more opportunities and it's going to look cleaner offensively. The big takeaway for me in saying everything that I said positively about a good win last night is you're playing a team that is basically the Eastern Conference version of small ball.
Mm-hmm.
So when you play in the West, and again, I'm looking at the playoffs, and we've talked about how many teams that are going to be playoff teams in the West have a good post-playing big man. That's what concerns me more. But I like the fact that they took a team that plays the same way they play, and they out-small-balled them.
Okay. I thought you were done.
All right. With that being said, let's just turn the frickin' page. Let's get into the saga of the that continues and the trend that the change that happened last night.
Well, real quick, can we circle back to real quick? You mentioned who in the CBA right now, is there anybody specific?
Kenneth Reed's still playing there.
Is he?
And I don't know unless that bridge is completely
burned.
There's
no way he comes back. I think that's a done deal.
I think that you'd have to have some guarantees when the discussion takes place, but I think that if they had an honest discussion and one D'Antoni owned up to and was just upfront about why he didn't play him last time, and that they could give him some kind of indication that it would be different this year come playoff time. I think he still wants to play in the NBA. The CBA is either done or close to being wrapped up. That's when guys want to come over and hook up with an NBA team.
So they're not under contract, right? They can come
once
over.
Once it ends at the end of their
season. Okay, because that was going to be my next question for you was, given the fact that what happened with Daryl Morey and Hong Kong and China, is there the possibility that since they would be under contract that China would be like, no, you can't negotiate with our players? But once the season's over, then they're good?
American players sign one-year deals most times. Unless you're Stephon Marbury because you're just killing it over there in the business side. You're going to stay there for multiple years.
Okay.
NBA guys, at least
that's good to know.
Past NBA guys,
yeah.
They're only going there because it's an opportunity to make money for this year, hoping that it would open up something so that next year that they wouldn't have to go back. So they're only working on one-year deals as it is, so that's not going to affect them. And all guys want to, not only do they want to play in the NBA, but if the opportunity presents itself and they can get double income in a year, they got all their Chinese Basketball Association money, they come back, catch an NBA contract, and then if you hook up with an NBA team that gets you playoff money, now you made what looked like a disastrous year at the start into a pretty profitable year when you only have so many where you can play basketball as your career.
Okay.
So
that's good to know.
There's a little inside information there. What I want to get to as we get into the second half hour of the show is we've talked a lot about what the fact that with everybody reporting now to all the different camps for baseball, that you're going to hear on a daily basis everybody's opinion on the Astros. And more importantly now, you're going to hear from players that had a direct role in and were directly involved in the cheating scandal with the Astros. There are some interesting tidbits that came out of last night, and especially an article that came out in The Athletic involving Carlos Beltran that sheds a whole lot of light that makes the Astros look a little better.
Mm-hmm.
But between Carlos Beltran and that story and Joe Musgrove talking honestly yesterday, I think there's some things that we can kick around on here that could change the narrative a little bit on the cheating scandal.
Well, change the narrative on Valentine's Day and don't go with the old stupid box of chocolates because that's not going to get you anywhere. You better do something special for her. And Mark Klein at Klein's Fine Jewelry, one-stop shopping for you. You're not going to have to run all over town. You go to Klein's, he's got a special Valentine's Day package. Mark, tell the folks about this Valentine's Day package and how you're going to hook up the listeners.
Hey, you know it is. It's the only place I advertise is ESPN. And so with you and John in the morning and the ESPN listeners come in, we had the Christmas party here. It's just for the ESPN listeners. So we do a Valentine's Day package every year. And this year, the package is you spend $200 and you get a diamond pendant or diamond earrings in white gold or yellow gold. And you also get a dozen roses. You get a Valentine's Day card. And just for the effort for you, I give you a Torchy's Taco gift certificate to go over there and get some lunch. So you get, and we wrap it for you, pull right up to the front. It's easy. It's simple. You come in, diamond pendants, diamond earrings, a dozen roses, Valentine's Day card. We wrap it all for $200 and the Torchy Taco's gift certificate all for $200. So we have hundreds of pieces in stock. Whether you want a diamond pendant, diamond earrings, diamond bracelet, loose diamond, diamond ring, we do it all right here in the store. We've been doing it since 1969. The family business is small, and we take care of our customers every single time. You can give me a call at 832-316-1388. That's 832-316-1388. Or just come by Klein's Jewelry. We're located at Fountain View and Westheimer. It's the best deal in the city of Houston. for Valentine's Day this year at Klein's Jewelry. Give us a call, 832-316-1388. It's Klein's Jewelry, or check us out at kleinsjewelry.com.
You heard the man. It can't be any easier or cheaper than going to Klein's Jewelry. Mark, we appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, man.
There you go. Mark Klein, Klein's Fine Jewelry. We're back right after this. ESPN 97.5.
To the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go. Second half hour of the show. Always appreciate you guys, the suspects, that tune us in on a daily basis and then take it a step further and participate in the show. Whether you call, you text, or you're hitting us up on Twitter, we like to engage and we like to get your feedback. So we appreciate you. Talking Rockets in the first half hour of the show. Now we're going to turn the page because some things came out in the last 24 hours or so that really kind of put an interesting new spin on this Astros cheating scandal. Obviously, the Major League Baseball yesterday said they're not going to have any decision on the Red Sox this week. So you can scratch that off your list of hopeful things you'd like to see from Rob Manfred. But now it's coming out that Carlos Beltran was the quote-unquote ringleader. One part of the article, they went so far as to call him El Jefe.
Oh,
yes. But that it started out with Beltran and then Cora getting involved and really being the quote-unquote ringleaders of everything that was going down within the clubhouse. And then the article goes on to quote unnamed sources, which at least in part seems to be Joe Musgrove, because later in his comments and his quotes from spring training and otherwise said, look, the way that clubhouse was run with the veteran presence, especially with Beltran, and we've mentioned Brian McCann in the past, but especially with Beltran, that as a young player, when you had something like that going on, there was no way that anybody would dare push back and tell them to stop. And that, you know, that in a lot of clubhouses, and the Astros one has long been rumored to be one of them, where the veteran presence going back to the days of Biggio, where a lot of people thought Biggio ran the team more than Larry Durker in the years that Durker was manager because of the rules that he had and the way he enforced the locker room, that young players, and the Astros had a lot of them, were not going to push back on guys like this for fear that they might be demoted, sent down, you know, looked at in a negative light, but that the article also said that Brian McCann, a guy that we brought up, at one point went to Beltran to try and get him to stop, and he wouldn't do it. So now I go back, and I want both of you guys to chime in on this, but the other thing that I'm going to throw out there is we've said all along, whether it's people we've talked to otherwise, Yankees fans, Dodgers fans, careful what you blow your chest out and say you were innocent of, because there's still things are still coming out. But let's not forget that one of the quotes in this article, Beltran said that when he joined the Astros in 2017, the first thing he said was how behind the times they were in terms of this entire idea of, sign stealing. And then when you look at where he was in 2014, 15, and 16, and where he returned in 2018, if he's saying the Astros were behind the times, and he was with the Yankees for the previous 3 years, don't tell me the Yankees are innocent.
No, I don't think anybody believes they are. I mean,
John Boy does.
People, outside of Yankees fans.
Yeah, I was going to say outside of New York, I think a lot of people know. I think it's easy to jump on the bandwagon and trash the Astros and not look at your own team because no one's been caught yet outside of the Astros. So it's easy to just go, it's all on the Astros. It's like steroids. Everybody's favorite player wasn't doing it. He just works out a lot. And then it comes out that he's done it, you know, 2 years later. And you're like, it's not that big of a deal is how people are going to look at it once their team does it. So I do find it interesting. I could totally see how in a clubhouse there is that level of respect and fear. And you're not going to challenge a veteran player like Carlos Beltran, who's been around, done it all. You know, you're just not going to do it. And remember, We talked about the fact that they brought in McCann and Beltran to teach this team how to lead, to teach this team, to teach these young guys some to show these young guys some veteran leadership. And so you're not going to challenge that. Nobody is. I don't, even the Altuves of the world aren't going to challenge Carlos Beltran at that point.
Right.
So I, you know, I'm not saying he was a locker room bully by any stretch of the imagination, but what I'm suggesting is that people weren't going to. That's not the hill you're going to die on if you're in that clubhouse as an Astro.
I mean, I think that was there's a certain amount of respect that Beltran kind of commands anyway. I mean, he's going to get that respect just like you talked about. So I can see how people would be kind of scared to continue to challenge him if he was continuing to do it anyway. You know what I mean? I don't see many players in that locker room that'll be able to do that.
Yeah, he obviously, when you look at Bregman and you look at all the different guys that went back, and if you go back during that year and just take certain quotes and things like that, Bregman was really, really tight with Cora as well. Mm-hmm. But when you look at all the different players in that clubhouse that were just so joined at the hip with those two guys, you can understand how they could dictate the basically everything that happened within the clubhouse. And for Hinch, you don't want to rock that boat because of the fact that, you know, everything's going so well and you know you have a championship caliber team. But you know, if you do something like that, there could be a division in the locker room. There could be an anarchy. There could be people that are just absolutely just, you know, ticked off at him, mm-hmm. and he didn't want to do that either, because now everybody reading these articles is going, well, if you were so regretful you didn't do more, well, then why didn't you do more? You know? Yeah. And that's a question that I don't know that we'll ever get the answer to, but at least now we're getting some more details and more players are coming out with more information, because the way it looks now, I just like the fact that there's some truth to the fact of the matter is that other teams were doing it.
Here's what's funny. Somebody texted because this is a discussion that's not going away.
Right.
We're going to be talking about this all year. So somebody texted from the 337 area code, which is Southwest Louisiana. I looked it up. And they said, again, Astros fan, take your medicine. Quit trying to drag other teams down to their ways, shaking my head. First of all, I have no doubt that you're a Saints fan that defended Bounty Gate. There's no doubt in my mind that you're being the most hypocritical fan on the planet. There's no doubt in my mind. You were probably the first dude to log on and tweet or post about how Sean Payton shouldn't be suspended and Bounty Gate is just playing football. So stop being a hypocrite. Second of all, every fan base in this country would be doing the same thing that Astros fans are and defending their team the best way that they feel like they need to. And the third thing is Astros fans don't need to take their medicine because Astros fans didn't cheat. The Astros cheated. So let a fan be a fan. If they want to defend their team to the death, let them do it. Just like you did the Saints during Bounty Gate. So shut up. Okay. Somebody wants to know what city Tupac's from.
New York.
Did you text that yourself?
Nope. 504, boys. There's a 504 area code.
Who do you know?
That's New Orleans.
Who do you know?
I don't know anybody in New Orleans.
I bet you had somebody text that in.
I swear to God, I did not. I swear to you, I did not.
Why would he do that?
Why would I do that?
Nick, I know. Because I know the axe that he has to grind with our lists.
No. I swear to you,
he did mention the Tupac thing to me before.
His
the
face
show.
Is a little red right now. I would lead to, and I don't think that's just because he's a Chiefs fan. I think that there's more
try.
To it.
That's a good try.
I know he's from New York, and I put him, and he represents New York on my list, and he was born in New York. Sorry,
you
that's
get
why
no
I put him
argument
on.
From me.
Okay, that's
Tupac
why
is I'm listed
just reading
as LA.
The text.
He was
huh?
Tupac is listed as LA on your list.
Yeah,
not New York, Joel.
Well, then I put him in the wrong category. My fault.
Just reading the text. Don't kill the messenger. Just swear to you.
Okay. Then I screwed up. There. I admitted it.
Barry, the Red Sox and Yankees were both caught in 2017 sign stealing on either side. Yeah, and we've mentioned that several times. But here's the difference, okay? When you talk about the Red Sox and Yankees getting caught, that's what prompted this to be such a big issue, is because there was no written notice or rules or anything that said you couldn't use an Apple Watch. But Rob Manfred said, all right, enough's enough. No more technology to steal signs. You want to stand on second base and try to figure it out on your own? We don't care. We're not going to stop that. But no more technology. And if you do it, there's going to be harsh punishment. And that was sent out to the entire league.
Yep.
And that was part of the, if you read the report, that was part of it. That Jeff Luhnow got the emails. And he should have distributed that to his team and made it very clear that this wasn't going to be tolerated if it happened. And that's why he didn't get a pass and got suspended for a year. So I'm with you. We know the Red Sox and the Yankees tweeted, but they didn't cheat after the memo came out from Rob Manfred, and that's the big difference between what the Astros did and what the Red Sox and Yankees did.
We don't know that they didn't, because the Red Sox report hasn't come out yet, and one of the catalysts was managing the Red Sox in 18.
You're right. Well, I'm just saying, based on what we know right now.
Right as of now.
The Astros are the only team that has been caught cheating after the memo from Rob Manfred came out, and that's a big point that I think Astros fans and other fans need to remember.
Yeah, I think the other thing that we need to get into, too, is just the whole Pettit and Clemens, the way they handled the steroid era, is now kind of similar to the way we can look at things, the way A.J. Hinch handled it versus Luno and things like that as well. Because, you know, as these things come out, and like I said, I think it's actually very, very refreshing now that even though the commissioner wanted to sweep it under the rug and try and protect the players, that the players themselves are going, no, no, no. I need to say what I need to say about this so that some more truth comes out. So we can continue to have that discussion. We've got people that want to get in here and get in on the discussion as well talking about this. If you want to be one of them, 713-780-3776. That's our HRNP listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. And you can also hit us up on Twitter. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good friends I have at Infuse Energy. You can have them too, because I'm telling you, I made the switch to Infuse Energy about three and a half years ago. I just re-upped with them, and why wouldn't I? Because they saved me thousands off my energy provider that I used to be with, and that's why I re-upped, because they take care of their customers, and they do it on a daily basis. Whenever you call them, 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, you're going to get a human being on the phone, not an automated system. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them, because they want to pinpoint the best rate and the best deal they can possibly give you, because that's what they do. It's great customer service. So much so, they have the best rating in the Public Utility Commission of Texas, 5 out of 5 stars. You want that service, you get that service from Josh Pesikoff and his staff at Infuse Energy. Right off the top, if you mention ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit on your first bill, and they'll go from there. You can also check them out at InfuseEnergy.com, but I encourage you to call and get all the information. 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse Energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's the three of us and all of you as we take you till 4. We were getting into more details on this, day 100 of the Astros sign-stealing saga as it continues. The point I was going to make before the break is similar to when we had the steroid epidemic and the big story was Clemens and Pettit and all those guys. Andy Pettit attacked it head on, apologized, and basically was forgiven rather quickly after that. Whereas Roger Clemens continued to be in denial and has a totally different perception amongst baseball fans, the Baseball Writers of America, obviously, and everybody around the game of baseball. I think when you look at everything that happened, and I think whether A.J. Hinch had help or he just went about his business and said, I've got to attack this head on. I'll do an interview. I'll admit fault. I'll put myself out there in kind of a humbling way and give my best. I don't want to say apology, because he really didn't. Did he apologize completely?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, he said he was sorry, but when they asked him about the buzzers, he avoided that. So
it just seems
he apologized. I guess in a way, yeah, he did.
He
said he was sorry. He was
saved
remorseful.
His career in baseball.
He was remorseful.
Yeah, and I think because of that, he's going to save his career in baseball. I think that Jeff Luhnow, who had. When you talk to people quietly around the game, a little bit of arrogance. People had issues sometimes with the fact that, you know, even with just all the different statements that he made surrounding everything from Osuna to the Taubman situation to all those other things. And then the quotes came out. And then all we've heard from his, he never knew anything about all this. He had nothing to do. He just didn't know. And now with everything from the article that came out about the intern that started the whole thing and how everybody had to know in the front office to all these other stories and everybody that's recounting things saying they knew, it's a different look for Luhnow. He may never look – I don't think he ever works in baseball again.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, if you're going to let one cheater back, you might as well let them all back.
Because I don't think Cora does. I'm not sure Beltran will. And I definitely think that Beltran's chances, he has the numbers to be in the Hall of Fame. And I think this is going to affect him in terms of getting
in. So you're
in.
Suggesting that if they owned it, they would be back. But since they didn't, they won't. Is that what your point was?
I just think in those, I was speaking of both Hinch and Luno. Uh-huh. But I think that in a lot of these guys' cases, I think even with Cora and Beltran, if they would have owned it, if they owned it right from the start, and they were outspoken about the fact, look, we screwed up, that I think that people might have a little bit more sympathetic approach. I think now, I don't think either guy is going to work in baseball again. And I think in Beltran's case, I don't think he gets in the Hall of Fame because of it. And we'll just have to see how it all plays out.
I would disagree to a certain extent because owning it after the fact is too late. People go, yeah, you cheated. You're only owning it because you got caught.
Pettit did it.
Yeah, well, he only did it because he got caught. He wouldn't have stopped if he wouldn't have got caught.
Pettit's, let me just say this. I think Pettit saved his chances of getting in the Hall of Fame because of the way he handled it.
We'll see.
Because he's a, when you look at his stats as a left-handed pitcher.
Still cheated. Just because you were honest enough to say you're sorry doesn't mean you didn't cheat.
All right. You want to take a Yankee fan call?
I would love to take a Yankees fan's call.
You seem like this might be right down your alley. Great. Scott, what's going on?
Long-suffering Yankee fan here.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. That team that I used to root for and loved back in the 90s and early 2000s have up to the ballpark with a needle in their butt still. And you know what? I don't care. Enjoy your championship. It's not tainted. You beat us. You beat everybody. Enjoy it.
Hey, appreciate that, Scott.
That's good.
Voice of reason.
Yeah, well, not what I was expecting. We'll take that.
No, I think the point is, and it continues to be made, and it should, and they were a better road team than they were at home, although we know now that they cheated on the road. That's been broken as well. But they won in Dodger Stadium. They won, you know, I mean, I saw somebody make a great point the other day. Did the Astros cheating make Gary Sanchez suck at the plate? Because that's who cost them the series. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at his play at the plate, defensively how awful
for sure
he was.
Too, yeah.
That cost him. It's kind of like in 2018 when Maldonado behind the plate was giving up passed balls like crazy. That I mean, you can blame cheating or not cheating all you want, but sometimes players have something to do with that.
Sure. And look, there's so many factors. We said, even if you know what's coming, you got to hit the ball.
Now, it does make me think, remember when they made such a big deal about you, Darvish, tipping his pitches so much? Did he?
There's just going to be, yeah.
That's the question. You're like, did he? Or did they just really cheat?
Well, even,
did they cheat extra hard on you, Darvish?
And here's the other thing, too, because remember now in the Tampa series this last year, it was about tipping pitches again on several occasions. And you have to wonder, well, were they tipping pitches or were they getting signals, signs? And if they were stealing signs, were they stealing them the old-fashioned way? Or were they still using some kind of technology? Because now it's all going to be roped under one category, and you're never going to know. But it's
I disagree. Oh, well, yeah. But I think people are still going to steal signs.
Sure, but that's what I'm saying.
They're not going to do it using video.
But it's still part of the game. It's been part of the game. You're seeing that technology made it a bigger part of the game than people want to admit and baseball wants to admit. But the fact of the matter is that whether you use technology or not, people aren't going to stop trying to look for that advantage of if a manager or a third base coach is got an easy indicator or a catcher is not doing a good enough job hiding the signal, that it's in everybody on that team's best interest to try and take advantage of that. So for people to think that this is just unheard of and should never be a part of the game, well, it's been going on forever. It's just, like you said, they're using electronic devices and things like that to get it done quicker, faster, and more efficiently.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. All right, so that was one of the other big things of information that came out last night that people are talking about. And with all that, Jim Crane is having a meeting almost probably as we speak with his Astros players as they are set to address the media tomorrow. For the guys that are down in spring training. So he is going to talk to them today, and you know that there's going to be speaking points, and we probably are going to hear a lot what we heard at FanFest, but probably with apologies intertwined because of the fact that they are trying to coach their players through this and hope that it'll get in the rearview mirror as fast as possible.
My guess would be that this is going to be a mix of the Texans and good PR work. You know, the Texans are notorious for teaching their players, especially their young players and rookies, that I just want to be the best teammate I can be and help this team win in any way possible. And I imagine that those kind of talking points are going to be distributed to the players. Look, if you don't know what to say, if you're caught off guard, if someone asks you a difficult question that you're not sure how to answer, just tell them you want to be the best teammate you want to be. Tell them that that's in the past. There's nothing we can do about it now. We just want to move forward and be good citizens in baseball or whatever it is their PR comes up with. But there will be bullet points that these guys can regurgitate over and over again.
I'll tell you what it is. It's two words.
The other thing is that they're probably going to also tell them, listen, if don't go out and search. If you're asked, answer it. Be specific, but be short with your answers. Don't belabor the point. Answer the question and move on.
I'm telling you, what they're going to coach them up on is two words. I'm sorry. And you know how you address it? I'm sorry it happened. I'm sorry that with a team as good as we had, that we didn't just completely go on the fact that we had one of the best rosters in baseball. I'm sorry, you know, that it's come to this. Things like that, because that's what people are going to gravitate towards and feel sympathetic to them, as opposed to the arrogance of what people came away from FanFest with, which is, if you're not going to say you're sorry and you're going to say, hey, look, the report came out and no players were mentioned and, you know, Major League Baseball did what they had to do. The Astros did what they had to do. And now we're just moving forward. That came across non-sympathetic and people were ticked off about it.
Yeah, I think people want remorse.
Yeah. All right. So that'll about cover hour number one of the show, but still plenty of things to get to as we move forward. But if there are things on your mind you want to get off your chest, we are here for you. 713-780-3776. That's our HR&P listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can hit us on Twitter at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at The Producer Nick. With 2 hours still to go, plenty more to get to on the show. Love to hear from the suspects. ESPN 97.5.
Of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.